Hello and welcome to another great edition of Sports Club. Yes, we're doing that one first this week. The other two shows may be later today, maybe tomorrow. Not sure exactly when those are coming out. But I wanted to get on here and talk some football before there is football. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Today's Sports Club is called Thankful. There's a lot of teams that are thankful for a lot of things, and I'm thankful for a lot of things. And I will, if I remember, I will get into that later this show. Of course, we've got a lot of NFL to talk about. Got a little bit of Hawks, a little bit of United. Just been a whirlwind of a week. Been a fun week up to this point. Hopefully, everybody is surrounded by people you love and great food. If you're listening to this, or maybe you're traveling to or from. Certain things like that, or just know that even if you're not surrounded by those things, you're still loved by people. Yep. If you're my listener, I definitely love you guys. Appreciate you guys always tuning in the way you do. You guys are a lot of the reason I continue to do this. I enjoy what I do, but it's fun knowing that it's just great. Fulfilling even to know that there are people out there who take time out of their day to listen to the things I say. I definitely appreciate all of that. That being said, as the great Sonny Clark would say, let's get into some NFL action because there was a lot last week. The Thursday night football game, of course, you had the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans. Really thought the Colts could pull this one out. But as much as I like Jacoby Brissett, maybe they should consider a high draft pick. Maybe Tua. I'm not saying Tua is the end-all be-all, but he would fit this offense very, very well. But back to the game. Houston wins this one 20-17. Basically, the Texans just outlasted a super talented Colts team. Houston has got to. If I was Houston, I would – it ain't got to be Chase Young, but I would add a little bit of defense because if J.J. Watt is going to have health problems, you let Jadeveon Clowney go. I totally understand why you did that, but now there's a slight void in your defense to where if J.J. is out, Whitney Mercilus is doing everything he can. The other guys on this team are doing everything they can, but they need that extra little crunch on the end, and they don't. Have it. I would go get a great pass rusher and stick him up front with JJ. Let Whitney Mercilus continue to be the key cog in this defense, and that's how you're ultimately going to get to the next level. I think Bill O'Brien is still a good coach, as much as I like Frank Reich on the other side. They're both this division is slowly building into a monster division. I think Jacksonville needs a coaching change and potentially. Maybe a couple other things to get in the mix because they are definitely that fourth team in my opinion, but they're all right there next to each other. This might be one of the best divisions in football, the AFC South. But Houston with a victory there, and it still leaves it wide open for my Tennessee prediction. Seattle 17, Philadelphia 9. The fact that Seattle only scored 17 is a testament to the Philadelphia defense, but Russell Wilson reigns on the Ertz big day. Ertz set a lot of records in getting to yardage and catches and such. But, hey, individual records are cool, but wins are wins. And Seattle gets this one. Seattle, to me, is still one of those teams in the NFC that you just have to keep your eye on. At this point, I would say 49ers are the front runner. And then after that, you have to watch out for the Seattles. You would have to, in fact, the 49ers should watch out for Seattle. You would have to watch out for the Saints, and you would have to watch out for the Green Bays of the world. And I'll be honest, that's as stacked as the NFC is. I would go Saints, I would go Green Bay, I would go 49ers, I would go Seattle. If I'm leaving somebody out, get over it. Those four teams You're going to have to beat at least two of them to make a Super Bowl, so good luck. Detroit 16, Washington 19. The major note I have on this one, how did the Lions let them win? Jeff Driscoll had a pretty good day, threw an interception at the end, but that was going to happen. This Detroit team, I don't think it's a coaching problem. I don't think it's quite a personnel problem, but they need a few more pieces. The health of Matt Stafford does have some to do with it. I felt like Jeff Driscoll did step in and do well. Hell, he helped me win a fantasy matchup, so I can't give him too much detraction. But Detroit, if you want to rebound and you want to get out of the cellar that you've been in since, I don't know, the Barry Sanders days, you gotta find those pieces. You're pretty solid in a lot of places, but you're not great anywhere. You could argue Matt Stafford. I like Matt Stafford. You could argue he's a great quarterback, which he is. He has the numbers to prove it. He has the numbers on a really bad team a lot of years. Even when he had Calvin, when they were winning five games a year. But Detroit, you're a couple pieces away as well. You might want to think about trying to add some of those key pieces. But Washington with a victory there. It was Dwayne Haskins, I think, first victory, maybe his second, but I think it's his first. To a Washington franchise that is an absolute train wreck mess, flaming dumpster fire. I could add 60 more probably adjectives to it, but it's Washington's problems start with their owner. Do we not remember that just a handful of summers ago, the big story was if we can still call them the Redskins? I think at some point it's going to get changed because it seems like across sports, all of the native tribe related terms are eventually getting moved around and changed. But at this point, the Washington franchise, Dan Snyder in his tenure has done absolutely nothing to take this team lower. Dan, I always wanted you on the squad on the show here, but even if you want to be on now and defend yourself, that's fine. You want to take shots at me, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But Dan, ever since you've took over, this team got worse, and they continue to get worse. You had Jay Gruden; he's a pretty good coach. You got rid of him because of just principle. Jay Gruden's going to be a high coordinator. Maybe, honestly, Jay, if you're listening. Jay Gruden, I would go to college if I was you. You'd probably be a hell of a coordinator. I mean, not coordinator. You'd be a hell. If you sat in somebody's living room and said, you need to come to the University at East Washington, there's a lot of people going to follow you to East Washington. I don't even know if East Washington has a team, let alone a opening at this point. But no, Jay Gruden, if I was you, I would look into college as much as I'm looking into pros. You can recruit. You are a very, very good offensive mind. You have options. But back to Dan Snyder. He just continues to drag this team lower and lower and lower to where even Dante would have to create a new level of hell where the Redskins are right now. Congratulations on the win, but congratulations on also probably a top three pick that God bless him is going to have to come play for your team. They're missing so many pieces at this point. So many pieces. And they're worried about the smallest little minuscule things that don't matter. Oakland 3, Jets 34 in the game that I absolutely thought would be the other direction. Oakland stumbled a little bit and they ran into a red hot Jets team where Sam Darnold and crew are not afraid of ghosts, apparently. They are not afraid of ghosts. They are the Ghostbusters at this point. The Jets are just heating up, and they may be saving Coach Gase's job. I'm all but convinced that he's not the world's greatest coach. Everybody calls him the quarterback whisperer, but they call that based off of Peyton Manning. And if you see what he did in Miami, and then now Ryan Tannehill, who was his coach there, Ryan Tannehill is running Tennessee into a potential postseason. I'm starting to think Adam Gase is not quite as good of a whisperer as you think. Carolina 31. And thanks to Willie Lutz. Shout out Will Lutz. New Orleans 34. Last minute field goal. The fact that Carolina hung with them tells you that Carolina is a better place than you think they are. And the Saints had to hang on to this one. The Saints played well, but they ran into a division rival, and in the NFC South, records don't matter when you play. You're going to see that again today, later on today. But Thomas may just be an all-world talent. He continues to set and break records and set precedents, no matter if it's Teddy Bridgewater, no matter if it's Drew Brees, no matter who it is, a quarterback. Michael Thomas might be the best receiver in the league. He might be I know he's the highest paid, but nothing personal, Julio. He might be the best overall across the board receiver in the league. He's the new Julio, basically. This is what Julio was years ago, all the way up until a couple years ago. But Saints with another big win. Miami 24, Cleveland 41. One of the things I have on here, how in the world did Miami get 24 points? This tells you where the Browns are at. They have holes, they have issues, things they need to address, but the Browns get the win. The Browns get the much needed win, kind of get back on track a little bit. They are not going to the postseason. I don't care what you guys say. But the Browns have talent. They just have to get talent to play together. I make reference to the book Good to Great. In Good to Great, it talks about getting the right people on the bus. And then step two of that is getting those people into the right seats once they are on the bus. That is where Cleveland is at right now. They have a lot of the right people on the bus, but they do not have them in the right seats. And they've got to get them to do that in order to get down the road and get where they need to go. Pittsburgh 16, Cincinnati 10. Cincinnati almost pulled this one off. They almost pulled this one off. But Pittsburgh behind a underwhelming, underachieving backup quarterback barely hung on to this one. Pittsburgh is actually swapping to Devlin Hodges, which I will talk about here in a minute. And Cincinnati is swapping back to Andy Dalton. Now, why would they? Ryan Finley this, and then no, well, they're really bad. What does it matter who plays? It does. And here's why it matters. They are swapping back to Andy Dalton because they do not want to be the second team ever to go 0-16. And Ryan Finley's okay, but he's not Andy Dalton. And they realize at this point, Andy Dalton might be playing for a contract extension. I thought he might be gone after the year, and there's a lot of people, including Chicago and probably the Chargers and some other people, that I would say, hey, look into this guy. Miami, you probably want to think about it too. But given all those things there, they're swapping back to Andy Dalton, so they'll go 0-16. They don't want to join the, what was it, 2012, or I can't remember what year it was, the Detroit Lions, who went 0-16. You don't want to be that team. So they're swapping back to Dalton. I think Dalton's going to be a good pickup for someone in the offseason, or maybe they keep him around in Cincinnati. But Ryan Finley is not the answer, not with the team they have. Maybe with some other pieces, something different, but not for now. New York Giants 14, Chicago Bears 19. Somehow, the Bears find enough offense to win this game. They find enough points to win this game. Trubisky had a pretty decent day. This is the Trubisky they want to see, but it's so such an anomaly that you're just not gonna. Bears, you got to think about other options. Now, I agree with Rich Eisen and other people that more than likely the head coach and quarterback will be the exact same next year. It will be Matt Nagy and it will be Mitch Trubisky. So, Bears, enjoy third place in your division. Or worse. Denver 3, Bills 20. The Bills are trending up again. And my goodness, they are getting hot at the right time again. They've been a pretty solid team all year. They are only, what, two games behind the Patriots. They are a team that, if they get in the playoffs, are going to wreck somebody. Going to wreck somebody, whether it's Josh Allen, this defense. The Bills can play. And Denver learned that the hard way. And we'll talk about Denver's situation here in a minute. Tampa Bay. Make sure I wrote that down. Yes, I did. Tampa Bay 35, Atlanta 22. Atlanta, here we go again. Atlanta's showing you that the last 2 weeks, that team's the anomaly. The rest of the year, this is the team you're going to get. I don't know what's going on, but they just can't muster up enough to get everything going and play it together. And so here we sit. And then also, is this enough to save Jameis? Because if I'm Tampa Bay, I move on too. I mean, Andy Dalton might not be a bad option there, or Carolina, or any of these other places. I think Jameis is gone after the year. We'll see what happens if he gets bounced around or something like that. But if I'm Bruce Arians, I'm looking elsewhere this offseason. But congratulations, Tampa, on the win. Jacksonville 20, Tennessee 42. The Tennessee Titans keep their playoff hopes alive. I think the best way they're going to get in is win their division. They have now got to take out Houston to do so. And I still say that Tannehill and crew and Mike Vrabel are they're equipped to do it. They're built to do it. I still stand behind Tennessee's going to win the division. Jacksonville, you're going to be third or fourth. There's just a couple little changes that you got to make, but your window of the team you had closed a year or so ago. You had your chance and you missed it against New England. Sunday Night Football, Green Bay 8, San Francisco 37. This was the Niners putting distance on their opponents and putting notice on the league that I don't care how good you are, we can beat you. And we're going to beat you. And we're going to dominate you. San Francisco, by far, to me, is one of the best teams in the league. They are probably, yeah, I probably got them second best right now, only because of a team I'm about to talk about. But seeing what Shanahan's doing over there, Falcons fans, what could have been? What could have been? He was going to move on anyway, so don't feel too bad. But what could have been? And lastly, Monday Night Football, Baltimore 45, Rams 6. Rams are done. Not just playoff wise, Rams are done. They're going to have to overhaul a handful of things. They're going to have to pay Jalen Ramsey, which means they're going to lose a handful of other people. Jared Goff is playing at a minuscule level. And this is not just because they faced a Baltimore team that is the best in the league. They are the number one team to me. But the Rams, just when you have Cooper Kupp, who can have 200 yards 1 week and not have any the next week, that's a quarterback problem. That's not a scheme problem. That's not anything else. He is good enough to get open. Jared Goff has to give him the ball. And if you thought the Gurley deal was something they were thinking about over in LA, the Rams giving all that money to Jared Goff and now him playing at a much lower level than he was is alarming. It's just alarming. But like I said, I think the Ravens are the best team in the league. I think the 49ers are the second best team in the league. Oddly enough, they're in separate conferences. So if that was my Super Bowl, I'm all in on that one. And right now, I'd give Baltimore the nod. It just depends on how they're playing when they get up to there. But if these are the two teams that meet in February, sign me up. Sign me up. I'm here. I'm there. I'm wherever I need to be. Let's talk about my picks a little bit, then we'll get into some other stuff. Picks. Told you take Seattle at Philadelphia. Of course, they won that one. That's 1-0 there. Told you to take Atlanta at home versus Tampa Bay. Whoops. Told you to take Green Bay at San Francisco. Whoops. Told you to take Baltimore at the Rams. Made me 2-2 on the week. I think I'm pretty sure I'm over 500. I win most weeks. So hopefully, if you're listening to me, you win most weeks as well. My picks is. There we go. My picks this week, as we live pick on the show, like I like to do. We've got Buffalo at Dallas. That is actually today at 4:30. I think it's at 4. I'm gonna tell you right now, as good as Buffalo is, and I want to side with him, I'm gonna homer pick this one out. I'm gonna take my Dallas Cowboys to win this game. They need this game as a Thanksgiving game at home. They usually try to win those, and they usually win those. So I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys. New Orleans at Atlanta. Take the New Orleans Saints. Not because they got embarrassed before. Not because they are the better team. Take them because them and Atlanta usually split the series every year. And so if they get embarrassed at their house, they're going to embarrass Atlanta at theirs. I believe that game is later tonight, like 8, 8:30-ish, somewhere in there. Tennessee at Indianapolis. I told you Tennessee's going to win this division. Tennessee's going to win this game. I really like the Colts. I really like the things they do. But I just think that Tennessee has got this extra X factor that they are going to pull off this victory. And then finally, Minnesota at Seattle. I know I could have talked about San Francisco at Baltimore, but I talked a little bit about that a minute ago. But San Francisco at Baltimore is going to be a really good game. But that's not the one I'm picking. Minnesota at Seattle. Typically, I would slightly side with Minnesota is the slightly better team. Seattle is playing at home. This evens this out. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know why, but I was going to say Seattle. I'm going to say take Minnesota on the road in Seattle. I think somehow these guys are going to figure it out. Dalvin Cook with a giant day. To recap, take Dallas at home versus Buffalo later today. Later tonight, take New Orleans on the road in Atlanta. Take Tennessee on the road versus Indianapolis, and take Minnesota on the road versus Seattle. The Lions are going to start David Blau. He is the third string quarterback. I believe Jeff Driscoll's a little dinged up there. Lions, doesn't matter who the quarterback is. You need to rebound and get some stuff going and keep this thing going. You guys can make a statement. Hopefully you make a statement. Good enough to keep you around. You're not gonna make the playoffs, but Matt Patricia seems like a good coach, so do enough to keep him around. Denver is close to starting Drew Lock. At this point, I'm surprised John Elway hasn't started for him. He is like 0 for 12 in picking a starting quarterback out in Denver. Drew Lock may be his best shot. So good luck to Drew Lock if he does start this weekend. I think he is. And maybe he's the guy so that they can start building and moving forward. Because they're not that many pieces away. But until you get the quarterback set, the other ones aren't going to matter. Jerry Jones takes a couple shots at the coaching staff after the loss. The players seem to back Jerry. It's not because they are anti-coaching staff. But if you look at the way Dallas has played and the performance and the decisions that were made and the calls that were made, this team is way too talented. The problem is the coaching. It's the coaching calls, particularly at the top. Some of the other ones are okay. A lot of people wonder if John Kitna could get promoted. He could. He could get promoted. He would be one that maybe Jerry would take a shot on. Because I don't think you want to move Kellen Moore because Kellen Moore is running a pretty good offense. It doesn't suit Dak. Dak can play in it, but so far they haven't found one that suits Dak. I don't know if they'll ever get around to that. But Dallas, trust me, still one of the better teams in the league. Still have a chance to make a good run here. But as much as I like Jason Garrett, it's time to move on. I don't care. Outside of winning a Super Bowl, even if you did win a Super Bowl, outside of that, I think you got to move on. Matt Ryan is only 346 yards away from 50,000, which would make him the eighth person all time to do that. And one of the number one fans he has in eclipsing that number is the son of Peyton Manning. I can't think of his name. But apparently, he has him in fantasy, and he lets Matt Ryan know, "Hey, quit throwing interceptions, and congratulations on big days." He has actually been one of his top fans this year, which is fantastic. But Matt Ryan only 346 away. If this game gets close today versus the Saints, he could actually eclipse that. If not, he'd probably do it next week. Steelers are going to start Devlin Hodges. Devlin Hodges has said, "Hey, I got nothing to lose at this point. I go out there and play great." See what happens. Because Mason Rudolph, he might be a decent backup, but he's not a starter. Devlin Hodges has the potential to maybe be that guy and to showcase for other teams if Pittsburgh doesn't keep him around, or if Pittsburgh decides at some point that it's not Big Ben's team, that they want to move him in a different direction, there he'll be. Let's move into some Atlanta United news. We'll finish up with the Hawks. The Atlanta United football team, soccer, whichever you want to call it, they declined the contract options on Florentin Pogba, Justin Meram, and Breck Shea. They could sign them back, but they had options to re-up them for another year, and they determined that was not something they wanted to do, which is fine. Like I said, they could easily re-sign them at different contracts, different rates. Could be higher, could be lower, who knows? Could be the same. But they just declined those options. The Hawks, real quick, last Friday they lost in Detroit 128-103. You had Bembry with 22 points and Hunter with 18. Trae Young had an off day. He was playing, but he only had 9 points. Saturday they lost to Toronto 119-116. Trae Young had 30 points. DeAndre Hunter had 26. On Monday they lost to Minnesota 125-113. Trae Young with 37. Jabari Parker with 22. Wednesday, or just last night, they lost in Milwaukee 111-102. Trae Young with 29, Jabari Parker with 33. Upcoming schedule for our Atlanta Hawks. This Friday, they will be in Indiana at 8 p.m. tip off there. On Saturday, they will be in Houston, 8 p.m. tip off there. And on Monday, they will be in Golden State, where I think they can get a victory. Honestly, I think they can beat the other two teams too. But I think they're going to beat the Golden State Warriors. That is a 7:30 tip off there. Now, something I want to bring up is Jabari Parker says that there is it's not a definite no on him making a return to Milwaukee as the second or third best scorer on this team right now. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that you're not ruling out a return to a team you're already on. You're on this team. You play for this team. You only want to play for this team. If you get moved or if you decide not to re-sign a contract or something, that's one thing. But it just fires me up that here he is, he's on a team that's building like this. The first thing he says is, "Well, I'm not ruling out a return to a team I was usually with." That's like being in a relationship. And you think things are going great, and then all of a sudden, the significant other says, "Yeah, I'm not ruling out that I won't go back to my ex." What? What? Are you kidding me? So, Parker, get your head straight. Play for this team until you don't play for this team. Or if you don't want to play for this team, go to management, see if they can get you out. Maybe they can send you back to the Bucks. Because if you don't want to be here, I don't want you here. Nobody wants you here. But if you do want to be here, then we want to fully embrace you as one of the stars of this team, which you are. You are a star in this league. You and Trae Young are great complementary pieces to each other. But if you want to move on, move on. That being said, I want to close out on a high note. So, things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for friends and family. All the really cool cats we have around here, one of which is staring at the screen. I'm thankful for a great day gig, a great night and weekend gig. It's fun to get to come on here and talk sports all the time, and I know you guys enjoy it because you listen every week. And just thankful for life in general, because life is always too short. But just thankful for everything that I have and all the experiences I've had, good or bad. So hopefully you guys are thankful for a lot of things. Hopefully you guys are going to be enjoying some great food here in the next 24 hours or so. But Jeremy the Impact York, that's going to do it for us this week on Sports Club. This episode called Thankful. We are much appreciative and much thankful of you guys. We will see you guys next week. Go Hawks. Go United. Go Falcons. Baby wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble.